It's we're on Parshas Vayetze. So I'm actually going to start with something which I didn't give you because I didn't want to go into a fifth page, or a third sheet of paper, and it was only this one thing. It's actually on the last pasuk of the parsha. We're on Parshas Vayetze, so it's page 168, but not the last pasuk, but the third to last pasuk, and where it says that after Yaakov and Lavan had their disagreement and then their agreement and then they made a deal. So in the morning, Lavan gets up. Lavan gives his children a kiss, and he blesses them. He went and he returned home. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, what do you mean, Vayelech Vayoshev? Just say one. Vayelech Habayta or Vayoshev Habayta. What do you mean, he went and he returned? So he says that Vayelech Vayoshev is actually a unique kind of formulation where I don't remember if it's the only other time, but the only other time that I just noticed in what he's saying here is when Bilam does this. And what do we find? Bilam, when he goes home at the end of Parshas Balak, Vayelech Vayoshev Limkomo, so is something like that, is what we're told about Bilam. And what happens there is that Bilam goes home and then he reappears in Parshas Matos in the war with Midian. And he gets killed there, or we're told that he dies in the war. So he says, from there we see that Vayelech Vayashav means that he went home and he thought about what's going to be his next Bilam. He went home and he thought about what's going to be his next attack against the Bnei Israel. And so he says, that's what Vayelech Vayashav means. He went and he returned. In what way did he return? So he says the same thing about Lavan. So he quotes something which I never heard of from the Sefer HaYashar, that what did Lavan do afterwards? After Lavan went home, he sent Beor Beno, his son Beor. So there's a tradition that Bilam was a direct descendant of Lavan, which is not our topic now. But he sent Beor, who was 17 years old, and he also sent with him Avi Choreif ben Utz ben Nachor to the land of Seir, to Esav, to let him know that Yaakov is on his way. Okay? So in other words, how does Esav know in next week's parsha that Yaakov is coming? He's already coming towards you. How on earth would Esav know? So in the Sefer Yashar, he says that Lavan sent the message because he wanted to implant in Esav's head, hey, I couldn't get him because God appeared to me, but now's your opportunity, maybe you can get him. And he says, V'hadavar bad Rivka em Yaakov. And it came to Rivka. Rivka found out about it as well. I mean, you know, it's her brother who's sending this message. So she sent 72 people who were of Yitzchak's servants to help Yaakov. Remember when it says Yaakov has this big machaneh, ha-machaneh ha-nishar l'fleita? Well, these are people who came from Rivka's side to help assist. That's the Sefer Yashar. Anyway, I found it fascinating because I never heard of it. But it's all on Vayelech Vayashav. That Vayelech Vayashav, that double verbiage is telling us, or verb, well, you know what I mean. The double verbs, okay, is telling us that there's something sinister here beyond just a going home or returning home. That there's a little more to the story. Okay, so I wanted to make sure to cover that. And so now that it's covered, we can go on. All right, so let's begin. What? That was the third to last pasuk in the parsha. Third to last pasuk. It's at the beginning of. It's the first pasuk in the last in the new parak. It's Mapir. Okay. Now we have tonight. We have the a few things which come up at the beginning of the parsha are reminiscent of comments that we've heard from the Aksavi Akabala earlier on. The first things that we have here, I'm just going to do out loud. I don't want to read it inside. So I'll just tell you what they are. So just to review the beginning of the parsha. So Yaakov leaves Be'er Shava. Remember at the end of last week's parsha, Esav is upset. So Rivka tells Yitzchak it's time to send Yaakov to Lavan's house where Yaakov is going to marry one of Lavan's daughters. So there's a whole Torah about how Yaakov actually goes in last week's parsha, that he goes to Charan. So what do you mean, Vayetze Yaakov, he's going out again, he's going to Charan? He already went in last week's parsha. So there is a view that when Yaakov went there to marry one of Lavan's daughters, he gets there and what does he find? Lavan has no daughters. So that's why there's a 14-year gap in Yaakov's travels. He leaves when he's 63 and he gets to Lavan when he's 77. This is, that is clear, especially when you look at the Gemara Megillah that gives us a timeline.
Yaakov is 77 when he arrives at Lavan, and he's 84 when he marries Leah, and then a week later Rachel, and the rest just follows with the Chumash tells us about Yaakov's age, and we learn this from Yosef's age. Anyway, so when Yaakov gets there, the first time, let's say, there are no daughters, so he has to leave, or he goes wherever he goes, and in the interim, Lavan's daughters are born, and it actually seems when Yaakov arrives that, that Lavan still doesn't have any sons, because who's the shepherd? Rachel, right? Rachel's the shepherd, and who knows what Leah was? That's a different discussion. We're not even going to get into the depiction of Rachel and Leah in tonight's class. But anyway, and then when Yaakov is earning money for himself after having worked for Laban for 14 years, so Yaakov becomes wealthy. And who says that Yaakov has taken everything from our father? Laban's sons. So where were they before? So it seems that they were born in the interim, and now they're the shepherds because Rachel and Leah are on Yaakov's side. Okay, so anyway, in Yaakov's journey, so we're told that on his way, on the second pasuk, Vayivgav ha-makom vayolon shem kibah ha-shemesh vayikach me'avnei ha-makom vayosem mira'ash osav vayishkav ha-makom ahu. Yaakov takes from the stones which were there at the place where he was, and he put them mira'ash osav. So what is mira'ash osav? So using as an example, the language which is used in the book of Rus, how what's her name? Rus lays at the feet of Boaz, right? Not miraglosav, margilosav. Okay, so what does it mean that she is near his feet, around his feet? If she's laying down on the ground, she's not on him, she's not under him. And so he just proves the point using a number of different examples that mirash osav means svivos harosh. You could look at the second line. Nira barur kitam mirash osav hadvarim anasunim svivos harosh. So in other words, it's to protect from animals. He's not using rocks as a pillow. Okay, that's the main point that he takes out from mirash osav. It's a unique formulation, and therefore it has an interpretation which is not the classic one based on the grammar of how the word is put together. The next comment that we've seen before. Let's see who remembers. In Yaakov's dream that he has in Pasuk Yudalit, he is told zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, that your children will be like the dust of the earth. Who was here when we saw that bracha given to Abraham? Anyone remember what that means? Ka'afar ha'aretz. It's not about quantity; it's about quality. So, there are qualities that the earth has. For example, it's always there. For example, it's a source from which growth happens. For example, it's something that people turn to for survival. Okay, that these are the symbols. So he has the same commentary here. And if you even look in parenthesis, what it says there at the very end, Ayein ma shekasavti belechlecha. Okay, so he has the same commentary here. Okay, next pasuk. If you have the booklet, if you have this little packet rather, so I'm just following the psukim. I'm up to pasuk tesvav, we're on page 144, bottom of the page. Okay, this next one. It's a good test to see who was listening last week. Hine anochi imach u'shamarticha b'chol asher telech v'ashiv osicha. Hold on a second. No, it's actually Tes Zayin. Why does it say Tes Vav? That's a mistake. It should be Tes Zayin. Okay, when Yaakov, after Yaakov was given all the promises that God gives him, so it's on top of page 146. Vayikatz Yaakov misha naso. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer, and he says, Achein Yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh. So we're not going to translate the word Achein. Yesh Hashem, God is ha-makom hazeh in this place. Vayanochi lo yadati, and I did not know. So the hint is, remember last week when we saw Rivka, when she's dealing with her pregnancy, she says, Im Kain, lama zeh anochi. What is Im Kain? What does Kain there mean? Anyone remember?
In truth.
Right, in truth. Nachon. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says it's the same thing here. Miturgam, meaning the translation, and is that actually what Unkla says? Yeah, Bekushta. Bekushta means truth. Okay, so he says it's the same thing here. So what is Yaakov saying? Not, oh wow, I had no idea, but it's true, or I see the truth that Hashem is here. So even Archibald's translation, surely Hashem is here, doesn't have the same
I don't think it has the same oomph that he's trying to draw out that it is, because surely is like, you know, it could be, as opposed to it is. So that's the difference.
He possibly not know where Moriah was. This is
so actually, on Beit El, I didn't give it to you, but on his commentary on Beit El, he says that Yaakov has a few places which he calls Beit El, and they're not all the same. So it's not clear where Yaakov is here. I know the classic interpretation is that Yaakov was on Har Moriah, but the pasuk is vague enough. Right. So anyway, the pasuk is vague enough that it could be some other place, even though that is the.
But then you could say that where he is, the chance of being, because there's a rumor that God is there, and he's saying Achen.
Okay, I'm right. So, that's the question of what is Vayifga b'makom, that he was encountered at that place, or I mean, how did he figure out? See, if he's not having this nevuah, this promise, until he actually falls asleep, then how would he know? And then when he has the dream, then he knows. So, yeah, elu ve'elu. Okay, Tanya de Messiah, right? Okay. Now we move on to the next pasuk. Vayira vayomar manora makom hazeh. So Yaakov wakes up and the pasuk says vayira. So what does vayira mean? I mean, it literally means and he what?
He became frightened.
Right, became frightened, right? Afraid, right? Yira. I mean, that's what it means. So the Aksav HaKabbalah has trouble with that. He says because why should Yaakov be afraid? I mean, if anything. But look, I mean, what did God just tell him? Let's turn back for a second. What did God say to him in Pasuk Tezvav? I'll just read it in English. Behold, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go, and I will return you to the soil, for I will not forsake you until I will have done what I have spoken about you. I don't know. If God tells me that, I should feel pretty confident, no? So what's Vayira?
Afraid of what might have happened to him.
Right, so it could be awe. It could be awe. Well, let's see what he says. Vayira. Ledati ein zedom elama shamar vayira Yaakov shu yiras ha'onesh u'puranios. This is not a fear of punishment. Kimalo lira alo v'takma b'yana v'u b'chol tov v'sakdolo sa'ila. What should he be afraid of? He was just promised the world. Avaloshon vayira kan hu yiras ha'kavod v'harovamus. David, you said you speak Yiddish. What's Erhuf?
Erhuf is COVID.
Okay. Thank you. Ki inyanu mikdashiti rosh. Ena kavana bono yiras ha-nezek, aval yira lebli pegoa bechvodo v'erko. That what he's afraid of.
He's forgetting the bank salam is COVID.
Right. Okay, in other words, he doesn't want it to get to his head. That's what he's concerned about.
Is this his first direct communication from Hashem?
As far as we know, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, look. I mean, you know, what he says is what it is. Yiras hakavod ve'aromus. In other words, it's like David said, it's an awe kind of thing, not a fear. Right? God promises I'm going to take care of you. Nothing to be afraid of. But wow, oh my God! Like you wake up, oh my God, God. I mean, that's my English. Oh my God, God just spoke to me. Yeah. What?
Maybe I should not have slept here because it's just. Disrespectful.
Right. Okay. Right. So it's a covered thing. It's not a physical fear of my safety, and that's basically the point. There are different kinds of yira. That's what he's trying to say. Okay. Pasuk Yirchas. Next pasuk. So Vayishkem Yaakov baboker vayikach etzo even asher sum mira ashosav. So here's the question.
Only one.
Right. That's the question. So what does Rashi say? Remember what Rashi says?
Lopped.
That all the stones
became
one. Okay, so we don't have, I have problems with these kinds of midrashim because, Yaakov's neck becomes marble or steel, right? Moshe's neck becomes marble when Paro's trying to execute.
But it's maybe just hard, like marble.
Right, okay, so obviously he is not going to go that route, which is why I do this shir, so we should get past Rashi. So what did we say last week? Remember when we saw the word S? There's another meaning of the word S. Remember? It could sometimes mean like, Es Yaakov Ishu Ve'Sobo. Sometimes it means with, right? We saw that with reference to the Bechorah, that when Yaakov says, Michrach Hayom es Bechorascha, right? That which comes with the Bechorah. I'm not asking to be the firstborn. I want what comes with the Bechorah that you don't want. You're still the firstborn. Okay, we're not getting into that. Okay? So S could have different meanings. That's the point. So let's take a look at what he says. Ha'even hayoter nichbedes v'na'usa l'matseva l'kach min ha'avanim asher samer asher sam. In other words, the prettiest rock, or the one which was most fitting to be a matseva, a monument, something which he could serve as a memorial of this time and place, he took min ha'avanim asher samer asher sam. V'techsar ha'mem mimilas asher k'minaga l'fa'amim. Sometimes the mem is removed when you have the word asher given, and he gives a few examples, as you see, and then in the next line I put in bold kimo kitseisi es ha'ir shapirei shminayir, like when the angel says to Lot, when I leave from the city, but all it says is kitseisi es ha'ir kein es ha'even min ha'even. Okay, so when it says here, Vayikach es ha'eved asher samer asher sav, so it means from the stone, meaning from the group of stones. But it doesn't mean that all the stones became one. It just means that es here means from. Okay, not a major chiddush, not some mind-blowing idea, but at least it helps us show, because I think that if I could summarize what the Ksav HaKabbalah tries to do in all of his commentary, is show us that there's nothing missing in the text. Everything's there. It's just a question of, are you finding what's there from the words which are there? Are you translating every word correctly? Those are the two main things that we keep finding. That he'll say there's nothing missing. It's all in front of you. And are you translating it correctly? And so this is an example. Are you translating the word S correctly? The answer is no, you're not. Here it means from. And I have proof from other places where the word S means from, and that explains how Yaakov was taking one stone, and it's not that all the stones were combined. It's that there's one stone, and he's picking. It's that there are a number of stones, and he's picking of the choicest. Okay, so now we get to a very difficult section, in the sense of what is Yaakov saying once he sets up this monument. Look at Pasuk Chaf, still page 146, verse 20. Vayidar Yaakov neder limor. Yaakov makes a neder, a vow. And what does he say? Im yeluhim imadiyu shmarani b'derech hazer asher anochi alech v'nasan lilechem lechol beged l'bosh. God is going to be with me, and he's going to watch over me.
If.
What did I say?
If God will be with me.
You just said God will be with me.
If God is going to be with me. So maybe that was a slip on purpose, because he's about to tell us that im doesn't mean if. At least not here. Okay? So, because what's the problem? God just told him. I'm going to be with you. Yeah. You don't have to say if God is going to be with me and watch over me and do everything, because he already said it's going to happen.
Maybe it's that saying spiritual watch. That's what Hirsch says.
Well, if means when. Also.
This is not a Hirsch class. Welcome, Steve. It's good to see you. Okay.
So if this would mean in this sense when.
No. So let's look at what he says. Im does not mean if. So what does it mean? Okay, so that's the point. And the next question is, at what point does Yaakov switch from, except now I don't even want to say it's conditional, because im implies conditional. If all this happens, then I will. And the question is, what is the I plan to do? Or what is, in other words, where's it, a nether, the pasuk says nether. A vow means that when something aligns, then I take something upon myself. So what is that needs to align? And what is it that Yaakov needs to take upon himself? Where's the shift? It from A has to happen, or A will happen, and then B is my commitment. Where's the shift? And the truth is that it's a little vague in the text, as we're about to see. So let's take a look. Im yihya. Okay, im yihya, everybody with me? Pasukhaf. Yiskashe lamiforshim al amro mamarzeh. The commentaries have difficulty with this, with what Yaakov's saying. God just said, I'm going to be with you. So how could Yaakov, if, who must fake? Im yel, him and me. So, and he shows all the contradictions, with Yaakov saying, if this happens, and if this happens, because of what God just said is going to happen. Okay? So skip to the part which is in bold, the first part in the middle of the fourth line. V'nir lamar, milas im, kan, eno milas atanai. The word im here does not mean, it's not a conditional thing. Kamo im yavru b'nei ruvein, like, you know, if, the, like what happens in the book of Yoshua, if the b'nei ruvein cross over, or it's the tanai of b'nei god, b'nei ruvein, whatever it is, that if the b'nei, if it's the b'nei ruvein, they don't lead the battles, then they lose their land, or whatever it was. He says, Avatamo kiminas omnam.
Oh.
Okay, thus, achein, verlich. Okay, so what does he say? Kamo im yelavayir kain. That's one of the things that Bilam says. V'chein ki im yesh achris. Okay, so in other words, he gives examples. So skip to the line just above where the part is in bold. So at the end of the parenthesis, the Talmud be'emes amar Yaakov. He says, really, what Yaakov was saying is, im yelohim yimadi rotzolomar. When Yaakov says im yelohim yimadi, this is what he means. Emes hu ne'mona ruchi b'avtachaso. It's true. I believe with every fabric of my being in God's promise. Sheyihyeh elohim yimadi, that God's going to be with me. Sheyishmereini, he's going to watch over me. And he's going to give me bread to eat, and that I'm going to return to my father's house, Beisavi rather, and that God is going to be with me. And so therefore I am making a promise. So in other words, everything through Pasuk Chaf Aleph is what Yaakov is acknowledging to be true. And so he's saying, therefore, the stone that I have here, Asher Santi Matseva, Yeh Beis Elohim, it is going to be. He's not saying, it's not conditional. It says, when I come home, this is what I'm going to do. Yeh Beis Elohim, V'chol Asher Titim Li Asher Esrela. And everything that you give me, I'm going to tithe to you. Whatever tithe means, there's a double language. Okay, so that's the point. So what's the Chiddush here? That Im does not mean if. Because meaning if makes no sense. There's no way that Yaakov could say if. Yeah.
Why use a word that would be subject to misinterpretation? If you want to use that word, why didn't you just say "Vayida Yaakov neder neimor kasher"?
I can't tell you, but the one thing that I will tell you, is what I love so much about his commentary, It's inspirational in the sense that he's so well versed in Tanakh that when he says that this is what the word means, he hinges it on another pasuk somewhere, which to me, I'll call it an obscure pasuk, because I don't know it. But he says, "Duh, I got proof." And so it's a challenge to us to become so well versed in Tanakh that this becomes obvious.
So what then is the meaning of the word im?
Well, usually it means if.
Okay, but
he's saying that here.
What is the meaning in this? The specific meaning in this context? What word would you substitute?
I would say thus or therefore because. Therefore because God has.
So this translation you're saying is all wrong.
No, I'm not going to say it's all wrong.
It
I'm saying no. What I'm saying is that a translation by necessity is always a commentary. It's always a
because
it has to make a choice.
It's an interpretation.
It has to make a choice, which is why we learn other commentaries as well and find one which actually answers what should be an obvious question.
This seems to be so radical.
Right. Well, it seems so radical, but
if.
How do you otherwise answer what is clearly a very difficult question in Yaakov's experience?
Using the word if. It doesn't make sense because God has already promised.
Makes
it prior
exactly,
to
the and that's why I share this with you. Is it mind blowing? Not mind blowing, but on the contrary, I'd say this is obvious. The Chumash, the article is problematic. Every other commentary is problematic if they don't come up with this interpretation. So this isn't radical.
Well, I mean, if is radical.
If is radical, exactly. If
radical.
Is insane.
It doesn't belong. Make sense.
Right, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. So So then the follow up is Ve'evan Azos Asher Santi Matzivos. So take a look at the Ksav HaKabal, bottom page one. The Das Hamifarshim Hu Tshuva Satanai Vehu Aneder. He says that the commentaries say that the Evan, that this stone is the response to the condition, and this is the vow. Klamar Im Yiskayim Kol Zeh. Like all the commentaries say, if everything else happens, then I'm going to serve God here at the spot where the stone is. It says, "Omnam b'midrash anelam isa ima evan azos asher santi matziva yebe seluhim miyad v'chol asher titein aser esrenu neder hamaser." So, in other words, he says, "What is the neder? What's the vow that he's saying? Just the maser." Just the promise to give the tithe, not that this stone is going to become. He says that's all part of the. I don't want to call it condition, but that's all part of the condition. Right? When everything else aligns and this stone is a base elokim, then I'm going to give a maser. Okay. Okay. Lefizeh ma'amar ve'aven azos u'michelok atanai ve'amaser u'aneder. Okay, that's what I just said. So I'm not going to chance what I just said. Okay, in some libo alel benadar neder dechsev evan azos asher santi matziva klamar. He says, so this is what Yaakov said. Ima evan azos asher santi matziva yebeis elohim miyad. So as the stone that I am putting here is going to be a beis elohim, so v'chol asher titein li aser asrenalach neder amaser aikas. So in other words, he's saying that the neder that he made is already putting into play. It's not conditional on my coming back. It's saying that since all this is true, then I have made a Beis Elokim here. How do I know I've made a Beis Elokim? Because this is my Beis Elokim, because I'm here and you're here, God, and so this is the spot. This is what it is. And so he's saying from this point on, Chol Asher Titein Li Aser Asrenu. It's not about when I get back. It's about from this moment on. So again, radical? No. But it's a question of where's the dividing line, which is part of Yaakov's da 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 da, everything has to happen, and now my promise. So he's saying that that's where the dividing line is. The dividing line is it's about the maser, not about the making of this place into a house of God. It is a house of God. So that's the interpretation which he gives. Okay. Yaakov continues. So, yes. Quote unquote condition. In other words, it's everything, it's all part of what Yaakov is saying is happening or is going to happen because it was promised.
Yeah.
The esnachta is the dividing line between everything up until the nether, and the nether is just the last part of the puzzle. Okay? Not crazy radical, not mind-blowing, but, again, just trying to understand what, in fact, Yaakov was saying. Okay, the next one. Okay, so Yaakov goes and he sees the well, and there are three shepherds. He asks them what's going on with Lavan, and they give him good information about Lavan. Lavan's good. Here comes Rachel, his daughter. Pasuk Yud. Vayehi, I'm on page 148, 8 lines from the bottom in the Chumash. Vayehi kasher ra Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achi imo v'yasson Lavan achi imo v'yigash Yaakov. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, Yaakov goes, he sees Rachel, who's the daughter of Lavan, who's the brother of his mother, and the Tzon, the sheep, which is of Lavan, who is the brother of his mother, and he feeds the sheep of Lavan, who is the brother of his mother. So he says the whole emphasis on Achimo is what gives Yaakov the excuse. The only reason why he's doing all this is because of the connection to his mother. So that's the first thing that he has here. The very next pasuk. So I'm not reading that. It's the top of page two. The next one is pasuk Yidalit. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel vayisaz kol avayeh. Vayishak Yaakov. So Yaakov kisses Rachel. So what kind of kiss is this? So the Ksava Kabbalah, I'm not going to read it inside either, but the Ksava Kabbalah says it's the difference between a nishika. Nishika means a kiss. When the verb says vayinashek, and he kissed, versus vayishak. Vayinashek is one of a more intimate kind of kiss, whereas vayishak, he says, is a yeah, or rather nishika im lamid. Nishika im lamid, it says Vayishak Yaakov Lirachel. That's the point. I apologize. It's not about the nun in the Vayishak, in Vayinashek. It's Vayishak Yaakov Lirachel. So giving two is biyad or bikasef or bitzavar apimina gamadinos. It's on the hand, it's on the shoulder, or it's on the neck. Without a lamid, it's bepeh. It's on the mouth. So obviously, the fact that it says Vayishak Yaakov Lirachel refers to something which is a little more cousinly, rather than inappropriately, intimately. Okay, that's the point. Okay, and it's something which he draws out of the lamed by Yishak Yaakov Lirachel. Pasuk Yitchas, his commentary essentially supports an idea which I mentioned earlier. Why does Yaakov, when he comes in Pasuk Yitchas, so turn the page in the Chumash, page 150, Lavan asks Yaakov, what is it that you? Or actually, it's before. Let's see. Yes, no. It's after Lavan asks Yaakov, "What are your wages?" In Pasuk Yirchas, which is the first Pasuk in Shlishi, Yaakov says, "Avarcha sheva shanim b'Rachel b'techa aktana." I'll work for you for 7 years for Rachel. So why 7 years? So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, based on basically what I told you before, that Rachel had been born in the interim, that she was a little young, and Yaakov was saying that I'm going to wait until she is old enough for marriage. Yes, there is a significant age gap between Yaakov and Rachel. I suppose in those times it was insignificant, not in the way that we look at things now. So to have a 77-year-old guy marry a teenager, you know, wouldn't really go over well now. But in those days was presumably fine, because it was all about when the woman was able to have a child. So that's the case. And as we know, Rachel certainly didn't outlive Yaakov anyway. So in that sense, It wasn't problematic. Anyway, so that's the first part which he says. Pasuk Chafalf. Now here's where we get into troubling territory because of the language which is used. So after Yaakov works for her, in other words, works to marry her, he works 7 years, Pasuk Chafalf. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, hava es ishti ki mal'u yamai ve'avoa ela. He says, bring my wife because my days have been fulfilled, ve'avoa eleha, and I shall come to her. Okay. Now, when you read this, you think, "Whoa, Yaakov's being a little brash here, right? This is the kind of talk that you expect maybe from a presidential candidate, but not from a
okay, in a locker room,
right? In a locker room, okay, but not from Yaakov Avinu." So the commentary, so he says, "Fine, Ayin Rashi." Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel Amar Ein Perush Sheyish Galena. He's not talking about sex. That he should have a place to live with her. In other words, he's saying, give me my wife, who will now live in my home, so that when I come home, I'm going to come to my wife. Okay? I shouldn't be like a guest. Now, where is Yaakov living all this time with Laban's house? He's been in the guest room, and he's a guest in the house where his intended lives. Give me my wife so that when I come home, I'm coming home to my wife. That's all that it is. Okay, I'm going to skip Avani now. Okay. Now, after this, of course, we know what happens. Lavan gives him Leah, and he figures this out in the morning. Ksav HaKabbalah doesn't really get into detail how Yaakov figured this out. We saw last year in the Ksav HaKabbalah. Wait, did we see it there? I'm trying to remember. No, I think I mentioned it. That there is a view that says that Lavan made a mishteh. And in the mishteh literally means drink. So what was the wedding party? A lot of drinking and pre-wedding drinking. So by the time that Yaakov got to the wedding, he was plastered. So it's pretty easy to not figure out what's going on. Here's a lady, she's wearing a wedding dress. Okay, it's all good, no problem. So there you go. All right, so he marries Leah, he marries Rachel, and then they start having the children. And the only one which I gave you, I think, is done. So let's take a look at Pasuk Vav. So we know that Leah has four children.
Question, why they say Rachel?
Oh, because it's something which is not as big of a deal. I wanted it was cool, but he focuses on the nekudos in Ye'ehevani. Well, it's a strange formulation, and he compares it to Vatirani Ha'ason, when the angel says to Bilam that the donkey saw me. What does it mean? I don't want to get in. I don't want to. If we have time, we'll get back to it. Okay, I got more important stuff to do than that one. But it is interesting. So here we go. Danani Elohim. Look at Pasuk Vav in page 154. Okay? So after Leah has her four children, Rachel realizes she's not having any children. And so she gives Yaakov her maid, Bilhah, as a wife. And soon after that, Bilhah has a child who Rachel gets to name. And the Pasuk says, Pasuk Vav, Vatomer Rachel, Danani Elohim. Rachel says, God has judged me. Now note, by the way, and I should have pointed this out, so I'll just mention it. When Leah names all of the kids, she says, she refers to God as Yudke Vavke. For Reuben, she says, Ra'ah Hashem Bioni. For Shimon, she says, Shama Hashem Ki Sinua Nochi. For Levi, she doesn't name him, but for Yehuda, she says, Apam Odes Hashem. I'm going to give thanks to Hashem. Rachel comes along, and what does she do? She says, Danani Elokim. Why did she use the name of Elohim instead of the name of Yudke Vavke? Megam Shema B'Koli, and he also heard my voice, Vayitin Li Ben, and gave me a son, Alkein Karra Ashim Odan, so she calls him Dan. Atar Od Vatele Bain, so Bilhah gives, Vatele de Bilhah Shemchas Rachel Bain Shnei Yaakov, Bilhah gives birth to a second child, Pasachas, Vatomer Rachel, look what she does again, Naftule Elohim, Niftalti Emachosi, Gam Yecholti, Vatkrashim O Naftali. Now, what the word Naftali means is a subject of interpretation, and our scroll obviously has sacred schemes have I maneuvered to equal my sister, and I have also prevailed. Okay, well, whatever that means. But the point is, she uses the name Elohim again with reference to both children. So let's try to understand Ksav HaKabbalah, how he understands what Rachel was going through. Okay, and there's a lot. I remember in our class last year, which I'm actually, if I didn't yet put it online, I'm going to put it online, everything I've been putting on YU Torah, so people can review and hopefully get that thrill of the Kli Yakar once again. But anyway, so he had said something about how what Yaakov was trying to teach Rachel in getting angry with her and saying, Hasakas Elohim Anochi, am I in the place of God who has prevented you from having children? I mean, it's not me. I'm not the problem. What Yaakov was trying to inspire her to do, whether it was to pray, whether it was to change something about the way that she was going about her life, I don't recall. And many of the commentaries are going to debate that. But the point is that here he says, Danani Elohim, God has judged me. Let's take a look. We're on towards the bottom of page 2. Danani Elohim. Ra'asai meinu Rachel b'liba. Rachel, our mother, saw in her heart that it was on account of her sin that she had been prevented from having a child, or from literally from giving birth. After her seeing that Leah was snu'a. Now snu'a doesn't mean hated. Okay, snu'a means less loved. I mean, it literally means hated, but it really means, in this context, it means less loved. That Rachel could have done something about it. Okay? But she did not. V'hu eino kovea diraso eitza Leah rakets lo. And Yaakov was not spending the majority of his time, or even any amount of significance with Leah. Clearly, it seems just enough to get her pregnant once a year, but who knows how much he was spending time with her beyond that. V'hi lo ishtadla la v'yehu l'karvehu Leah. And she did not do anything to say, hey, Yaakov, look, the fact of the matter is you're married to two women. You gotta share your time equally. Equally. And she's your sister. I mean, come on.
She's the main wife.
Okay. So hold on. Gam yachasa liatzma ad Elohim. She found in herself a side of sin because she didn't turn to God, as it says with Rivka. That what did she do? Right, Rivka went to seek out God. Rivka went to understand God. Rivka tried to understand what was going on with her. Rachel didn't do that. Right? Instead of trying to contemplate her experience and figure out, what am I doing wrong? She turns to Yaakov and says, no, Yaakov, give me child. And Yaakov says, me? Who am I? I'm just a man. Why don't you turn to God? So when she instead turns to Bilhah, she says, you know what? This is the message. Right? Why is Bilhah have a child and not me? Because Danani Elohim. Because God has judged me. I'm in the middle of the fourth line. What does it say about Rachel? That she's jealous of her sister. And she says to Yaakov, give me children. So that's why she says, God judge me. With judgment and with judge with a you know with a judgment really okay with a sentence. God prevented me from having children. Because I did not pray as I should have. Who did pray? Rivka did. I should have learned that lesson. So he did do a chesed by answering me partially through giving a child through Bilhah. Okay, so it's not completely what I wanted, but it's something. That's why she calls him Don. Kimiras Adin Goveres, because she sees that God's attribute of mercy, of judgment rather, is strong here. That's why she uses the name of Elohim, which is also Midas HaDin. Lo Shem Havaya Shezach Leia. It's not the attribute of mercy that Leah had recalled. She also uses Elohim with Naftali. It's Digal Atzma Midas HaDin. Lodos Psha'a V'chatasol Hashem V'mashech Isa V'tziva Esruach HaChosa. And so she basically said it's just and it's righteous what God did, because I dropped the ball here in getting her sister angry, getting her sister sad, liosa aluvam ruchakas mabala, that Leah felt neglected and abandoned really by her husband on account of the fact that Rachel didn't push Yaakov a little more towards Leah. And so this is why she got the message, and that's why Naftali is named based on this Dori Kesh Psaltol. Basically, I turned Yaakov away from Leah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and just going back to the Hatachat Elohim Anochi, Yaakov uses that name.
Right.
So
maybe that's a hint. Maybe that's a hint to her that the ball drop, Rachel, was your ball drop. Okay. A lot of the commentaries say that what Yaakov was trying to get Rachel to do was to daven, and to not think that it's all dependent upon him. One of the commentaries, he mentioned also, I didn't give it to you, but that Yaakov saw about Rachel that she was an Ilonis, which means that she was an akara, she was barren. She was a barren. She was barren, and therefore unable to give birth. So Rachel is basically saying, Yaakov, no, give me, hold on, you don't menstruate. What am I supposed to do? It's not me. You have to pray to God to make things happen. Now, again, I don't know if that's actually the case. There's no evidence in either direction, except that the pasuk says, Rachel, akara. What does akara mean? There are plenty of women who menstruate who are also barren. But to say that she's not, it was, lo aleinu, unfortunately, it's the reality. Okay, pasuk tazayin. So now, what happens is, in Revi, we're told that Reuven, who was a little child, maybe 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever, Reuven goes out and he finds dudaim. Dudaim are flowers. And these flowers are flowers which are assumed to have some kind of either an aphrodisiac or they have medicinal, you know, they're the opposite of birth control, like they're, hormones, hormone boost, whatever. Okay, however you want to explain it nowadays. So Reuben brings them home, he gives them to his mother, and Rachel sees them and she wants them. And so she says to Leah, can you give me some of your son's dudaim? And Leah says something which is also a little harsh. And she says at the bottom of page 154, Hama'at kachtecha sishi, last line, Hama'at kachtecha sishi, it's not enough that you take my husband. Lakachas gam is dudaim b'ni, you also want to take my son's dudaim. Atom Rachel, top of page 156. So Rachel says, Rachel, Yishkav imacha layla tachas dudaim b'ni. So Yaakov will lay with you tonight, tachas dudaim b'ni. It's interesting, what does tachas mean? Tachas could mean in place of, or it could mean underneath. You know, it's like a mistletoe. Okay? All right. So, Vayavo Yaakov ben Asadeh, so Yaakov comes in from the field, but Teitse Leah the Kroso, Leah goes out there, Matomer, and she says to him, Eli Tavo, you're going to come to me. So, the Ksavi Akabalah, and she goes further, she says, Sechor Sechartikha, but do the Ebony, because I've
I bought you?
Enticing. With my son's flowers. By Ishkabi Mabalailahu. So Ksava Kabbalah, he has major problems with the way that we just understood the implication of what Leah is just saying. He says, how could it be? Leah, she's one of the Imahos. She's going to talk so crass, so anti-prude. I mean, come on. Right? She's got to be. So first of all, what do we know about Tavo? We already saw this with Rachel, right? Yaakov says, "Ava li ishti ve'avo ela." I want to come. What does it mean? I want to come home to her. Mild, pariv, doesn't mean what we thought it was. Okay, so let's take a look what he says.
Rashi says very nicely. Don't want to hear Rashi. It's how I start my family. That's what Rashi said.
Leah?
No. With Yaakov.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right.
84 years old.
All right, so, okay, so, right. It doesn't matter, but he still sounds like he's saying, Vyavoy, I'm gonna do my... So he doesn't like putting that kind of language in the mouth of Yaakov. So he says, take a look at the Kliyakov, bottom page 2. Eli Tavo. Im nifareish lashon zal bias tashmish. If this coming that Leah is talking about is referring to the marital relations, right? The act of the bed. He chatsifus leisha pachas madrega. So it's bad enough to somebody who is of a lower level. Afki laachas meimos hakdoshes, if one of the holy mothers of the Jewish people. And if this is the way she's talking, she's so crass. Yaakov would say to her, "Come on," just like Rachel says, "Give me children." Yaakov says, "What are you talking about?" So if Leah says this, "Hey Yaakov, hey, you know," Yaakov is like, "Leah, come on, this is being recorded in the Torah. How dare you?" Right. So what does he say? "Makama maguna loshon schatik," and I bought you. Come on, I hired you for the evening. Kilo hayakan maskir v'sochir v'socher, that this, you know, that they're making business deals about who's sleeping with Yaakov. Chalila mimachshava muusa kazo. He says you can't have such a thought. Veloze ma'amar schartich, but today b'ni hay laakov ma'amar satum. I mean, what's Yaakov even going to say? Kiliyoso kol ayom b'sadeh b'lti yadiyah mimasha yibin Rachel v'leah odosa dudayim. Yaakov's in a field all day. He has no idea what's going on between Rachel and Leah. They're making all kinds of arrangements. Haya l'leah l'ba'er b'lishona nasati l'rachel dudayim b'schar mechilas ha'mishkav. Leah should explain that I gave Rachel, you know, I gave it to Rachel. We made an arrangement and said, this is what it is. But she doesn't do that. She said, I bought you with my flowers. What does that mean? That she was behaving as is befitting for a woman who was tsnua and mechubedes, right? Somebody who was modest. There's no way that she said something so disgusting. And she didn't say anything about what happened between her and Rachel in terms of making an arrangement. Avor, turn the page. Hadudaim, for the dudaim. Kiim. Omna acharei she's avol lezaveg lohulid ben echad and starek l'shiptaya she's dalem Yaakov davar acher haroui liyisha kasher. So in other words, yeah, of course she does want to have another child to join with the other children who are the shvatim of Yaakov. But what is the point? V'dabrai love. I'm in the middle of the second line. Elai tevo, when she says to him, you're coming to me, lo yisakav nasa rak levakesh mena sheyavo Yaakov ha'yomel ohala uveisa v'hisanei mipitum reyach hadudaim. She's saying is, come to my tent, because I want you to enjoy the smell of the flowers. Shevi lavna. V'yuchal ishtasheh b'davar she'ena gufne nemimenu kima nefesh v'areach. And she wants him to enjoy something that the body doesn't get pleasure out of. What gets pleasure out of the smell of flowers? The nefesh, which comes in through the nostrils. Lashon elai tavo perush el ohali tavo. When she says you're going to come to me, she means you're going to come to my tent. Keinyan yavo na elai v'yeda or avoy lecho berachticha. Other. Right. In other words, there's nothing going on here beyond a simple coming to a tent, as is what happens when people come to any tent.
Can I?
Yeah.
She doesn't know that she would have more than her share, which is four.
Mm-hmm.
At this point.
Right.
So maybe that's what he's also saying. That's why she was making no deal of parenting from the
right. It certainly seems that when Zvulun and Yisachar are born, she's shocked. She's shocked. And so much so, you know, there's this whole thing about that Lina was also supposed to be a boy, and you know, and Leah said, don't let me have another boy. That's not fair to Rachel. So that's the first part. That's what Eli Tavo is. Now what about Schor Sechaticha? So let's see. He says here, let's see. Hamtonas Hamos. Okay, hold on. Let's skip to the part which says Vizeu Tam Skors Chaticha. Okay? It's where is it? Vizehu Tam Skors Chaticha. Five lines from the end. Okay? After the period, the third one on the line. Vizeu Tam Skors Chaticha do David Bini. Hana'a Nafshis. Hachinosilach Ba'ohali De'e Bidu De'e Bini. What does that mean? Hanosanim Reach Tov, that I have prepared for you a pleasurable experience, but a, like a spiritual one with the flowers. Ulzeb bikashti levobo alil shasheh me'at ularchiv da'atcha achrei yischa b'avodas hatzon kol yom, so that you should relax and you should just clear your mind with this beautiful smell. Ulzeb shapir amru demrasi artzai leya pido sabadivrei ritzo yupius shelo amra kim lasura lo lo shetav atov b'peh. Hold on. So his explanation of Schor Sechaticha is Nikra Schar Hamtonas Hamaos. It's in the line where he says Min Harvacha. In other words, it's going to be rewarding for you. That's what it is that she's saying. Schor Sechaticha, I've created for something which is going to be to your benefit. Not that I purchased you or that I bought you. Okay, and he actually explains that in a line earlier. I for whatever reason I skipped it, and I apologize. Okay, so again, it's just a matter of understanding that there are different ways to translate these words, and I think it's a little knock to us that the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying is that if we assume that what's going on here is schmutz, that's because that's where our mind is. Okay? So maybe we have to reevaluate the way we sometimes read translations and ask the question that he asks. Could it be? How are you talking? Maybe there's another way to read it, rather than assuming the worst of these people. Okay, here's the only mind-blowing thing that we're going to have tonight. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay, Chav Gimel. Rachel, after she finally has a child. Okay, look at Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vatahar, vatelid bein, vatomer. Rachel finally has a child, and she gives birth to him. She says, Asaf Elohim escher pasi. Note, of course, that she's still using Elohim language, okay? Asaf Elohim Escher Pasi, God has taken away my disgrace. So what's her disgrace?
She
doesn't
have any children.
So why is that disgraceful? You say that somebody, I'm not attacking you, I'm just saying. There's a woman who has no children. That's disgraceful. It's, you know.
When the women hang out together, the women with children talk about one thing and the women without are left.
Okay, but again, it doesn't mean that it's a disgrace. So what's a disgrace? So this is This is mind blowing. Take a look. So where are we? Cherpasi, middle of page 3, Chav Gimel. Yitachein shebizman ahu ayu miktsas anashim nosim shtei nashim achas lepruah rebuah v'achas l'tashmit bilvad. In that time, there were people who had two wives. We know this from, like, you know, Chana and Elkanah, right? Elkanah and Penina, two wives. And it seems from that situation that one is for children and one is for pleasure. So he says that's the way it was. That one is for producing children and one is for pleasure. Achas l'tashmit bilvad. Shall you mashkin lakos shel ikarin? Can you imagine this? That they would have these women drink things to keep them barren. Okay, in other words, to destroy any possibility of becoming pregnant. Kemo shayu osim anshei dor mabu. That's one of the critiques of the people, the plague generation. And those who looked at Rachel and Yaakov's marriage, this is what they said, the scoffers, this is what they said. Yaakov yesh lo shtei nashim, Yaakov's two wives. Rachel, she yafalo, she's beautiful, in her akutashmir, she doesn't want to ruin her body, chalila, that she should become pregnant and anything should happen there. L'chein eino yoledes, sheishka lakos shalikri. Yaakov gave her the drink that makes her barren. So this was a terrible disgrace to Rachel because people thought she's just his, I don't want to use a bad word, she's just his zona, the one he has his pleasure with, and end of story. Since now that I have given birth, God has taken away my disgrace, because people see now that it wasn't the drink, it was God that was preventing me. Now that God has given me, my chirpa is gathered up. Right. Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Okay? No more, because now I've been judged, but now I've been judged for good. Okay. All right. We're not done. We're going to do a little more. I want to, let's see. All right. So, just quickly, Chavav, when Yaakov wants to leave, he says, Yaakov Levan Shachini Ben Chalm Kamila, I see Tana Es Nashai. So give my wives. What do you mean, Tana Es Nashai? When Levan married them off, he gave them to Yaakov. So what do we know about the word Es? What's it, Saba Kabbalah, going to say? That it has another meaning, right? In this case, he says that it means Im. Tana Im Nashai Bi Es Yiladai, with my wives and with my children, which are mine, so everything else that I am owed, basically whatever payment that I'm owed, but not specifically that. It says, "Give me the nedunya," right? What comes with a wife? A dowry. Well, you never gave me the dowry, so give me what comes with my wife, with my wives rather. That's what Yaakov is asking for. That's what the Ksav Kabbalah says. But not only that, he says that the word tana doesn't mean give. Right, remember when Achashverosh says to Haman, "Hakesef nasun lach, nasun lach, hakesef nasun lach." Not that the money that you've offered me in order to sign away the Jews is given to you; it's a gift to you. So he says that the word "tain" is like the word "matana." If you want, you could say it that way. It's not "give me." It says the gift that came with my wife, Tana Es Nashai, the gift that comes with my wife, fork over, buddy. That's what he's saying. That's his interpretation of Tana Es Nashai. Okay, we only have time for one more, so I'm just going to do one more, and that's going to be...
Did you tell me to put this on?
What?
Did you just say earlier that you have put this online?
Yes. I'm going to put it online. Okay, and I'll also email it to you, like I promised. So let's take a look at the Nichashti, because I thought that this was actually kind of cool. We don't usually have this. If you're interested, I really like the one on Vayikach Lo, which I'm happy to do afterwards. If you want to stick around for another couple of minutes. Okay, so let's take a look at Nichashti. Chav Zayin. So Laban's immediate response to all this when Yaakov was saying it's time for me to go is top of page 158. Vayomer Lav Lavan. He says, "I have nichashti." What does nichashti mean?
Guess.
So some people say it's like when Bilam says, so nachash could mean snake, but it's also a word that has to do with magic and divination. So some people say that what Lavan said is, I have done divination, and I've come to the conclusion that Hashem has blessed me on your account. So the Aksavi HaKabbalah says, no, that's not what nichashti means. Nichashti means, comes from a word, which means that I have, here, let's just look at it this way. L'datiyu misharesh chasha, she'enyano shesika udmiya. Okay, in other words, it means quiet and waiting. It's not just about not talking. He says that it has to do, it means that somebody waits for a long time. Skip to the end of the third line. He says, I'm asking for an extension on my ability to pay you. Ich wünsche Zeitfrist. What does that mean?
Time.
I need time. I need time. I'm not ready to give up, or I'm not ready to pay you. I don't have what I need. All I have now is sheep. Maybe I need to sell my sheep. And that's how I'm going to get money. So nichashti means I need time to be able to figure things out. Okay, that's nichashti. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I never heard of that before. So there we go. All right. I did want to draw one thing to your attention, although I don't know why I didn't give it to you. Did I give it to you? Hold on a second. Oh, yes, I did give it to you. All right, so I'm going to do two more. Let me go a little over an hour, and then we'll call it a day. So turn over the Ksav HaKabbalah page, and let's look at Pasuk Mem. Okay, and then we're going to go back afterwards to Pasuk Lamazan. Okay? So we're on page 150, 160. I actually love this one. It's his shortest comment, but it's amazing. Pasuk Mem. So Yaakov and Lavan make the deal that what's going to happen is, in terms of the sheep, Lavan. Hold on, I don't even remember what the deal was. Yaakov takes all the sheep which are born, which have spot speckles and everything on them, are now going to belong to Yaakov, and everything else is going to belong to Lavan. So who takes with them the different sheep? Let's see. Lavan says, "Well, Yos Avinu said, 'Did you know that this is called the Vambavu Chol Chumbak Sabim Vaytein Biyabanav?'" So Yaakov is taking care of Lavan's. I think Yaakov takes care of Lavan's white sheep. That's the way it goes. And anything from now on that is born, which has spots and speckles on them, is going to belong to Yaakov. So it's a great deal for Lavan, because white sheep presumably are going to produce white sheep. And the other things are going to be an anomaly. So it shouldn't happen. Pasuk Mem, V'ak Savim Hifrid Yaakov, V'yitain P'nei Yatzon El Akod V'chalchum B'tzon Lavan, V'yashes Lo Adarim L'vado V'lo Shasam Altzon Lavan. So take a look at the translation. Yaakov segregated the lambs, he made the flocks face the ring, ones and all the brownish ones among Lavan's flocks. He formed separate droves of his own and did not mingle them with Lavan's flocks. Okay? Look at the last word in that pasuk. V'lo shasam altson Lavan. What does the Ksav HaKabbalah say? Because that word Lavan is not referring to the guy Lavan. It's referring to the white sheep. So I just found it fascinating because I don't know what anybody else who says that. Says Veloz to Betzom Lavan Im Tamar. I'm sorry, Umkalos Tier Game rather. Aleph Tuf means Ina de Lavan. It means the sheep which belong to Lavan. The Lohabinosi Lama Lonifaresh Milas Lavan Al Marea Lavan. Vice. That Yiddish word I know. Says I don't know why that word Lavan. Why are you translating it to mean the guy Lavan? It should be referring to the viceness of the sheep, the whiteness of the sheep. The sheep which were white, that he put them opposite the ones which were spotted and speckled. Okay, so I just found that to be fascinating because I don't know that anybody else translates it that way. And he's saying no, Lavan of this pasuk is not referring to the guy; it's referring to the whiteness of the sheep. Okay, and that leaves us to pasuk Lamed Zayin, which is the what Yaakov does here. Okay, look at back at Pasuk Lamed Zayin, bottom page 1-3. So after they make the deal, and Laban takes out all the brown and all the spotted and speckled and ringed whatever sheep, and all that Yaakov is left with is the white sheep. So what does Yaakov do? Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayikach lo Yaakov makal livneh lach veluz v'armon. Yaakov takes these sticks, which have all these kind of imageries on them, Vayikpatzel b'hem tzalos levanos, machsof alavana sheral hamachlos. He put white streaks on them, laying bare the white of the rods. Basically, what Yaakov was doing, and the pasuk describes it, what Yaakov was doing was at the time when these sheep were in heat and ready to get pregnant, that they would look at these things, and somehow it would translate into there being spots on their you know, baby sheep. Okay, now Yaakov had already told his. Or does he tell them here, or did he tell them later? Later on, when it's time to go. Yaakov tells his wives that I had a dream, and in my dream, if you actually want to hold the page for a second, oh, it doesn't really matter because we're not going to turn back on the Chumash. But if you look on page 162, Yaakov tells his wives that God did not allow your father changed my wages so many times. So he says, no matter what he would have said, Pasuk Ches, if he had said that Nikudim are going to be your wages, then all the sheep would be Nikudim. If he would say, Akudim are going to be your wages, and all the sheep would give birth to Akudim. So God did this. Pasuk Yud, Vayihi ba'eis yachem atzon, Vayisai nai ve'er bachalom, Vayimei atudim, ha'olim ha'atzon, Akudim nekudim urudim. I had a dream that showed me that all the sheep were going to come this way. Vayomer Eli malach ha'olokim bachalom Yaakov, and an angel even said to me, in a dream, says, Yaakov, Pasuk Yud ba'eis, Vayomer sonai nekur eikol atudim, ha'olim ha'atzon, Akudim nekudim urudim. Says, an angel told me in a dream this is going to happen. Okay, so what we get here is confirmation that whatever Yaakov is doing is not tricks. It was going to happen anyway. And that's really what the Aksav HaKabbalah says. And I'm just going to save time. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. But when he says, Vayikach lo Yaakov, essentially what it boils down to is his problem was, what is Vayikach lo? Vayikach, Yaakov took. What do you mean Vayikach lo? He took for himself. So that's the part which I put in bold. The only reason why Yaakov took the sticks were because of the dream which he had. In other words, he needed to make it look like he was making an effort so that this would happen, so that it wouldn't look like a miracle. In other words, the dream is telling Yaakov this is going to happen. Now you have to do your hishtavlus. And that is what the Aksav HaKabbalah does in his whole commentary in this pasuk, is he says, anytime somebody was told something was going to happen, they needed to just take it to one step further and do their hishtadlus in order to bring it to its conclusion. So I'm going to save the time and not read through all of this, but that is essentially the point, and that's how he, and where does he get this from? From the fact that there's an extra word there, Vayikach lo, the lo, and he uses other examples to prove why the word lo is necessary. In other words, why it proves that Yaakov did this on account of the dream. Let me see if I can find quickly what one of the examples which he gave. Oh, yeah. Yehoshua. Okay, Yehoshua is an example. I actually took it out of what I gave you. But where Yehoshua is told to carry some spear in the war with Amalek, and that's what Yehoshua did. He was told to carry the spear, and so, Simlecha Orev. What do you mean, Sim Lecha Orev? Not Sim Lecha, Sim, just do it. Lecha means to you, for you, for the sake of the miracle, which I told you is going to happen, but you have to make it look as if you're contributing to the thing. There's another example with Elisha. Okay, that Elisha had to, was for some miracle that he was going to bring, he had to Kach, Keshes, Vechitzim, take a bow, and I don't remember the story, and I didn't look it up. But the point is that, again, when God gives you instruction of what's going to happen through a miracle, and He gives you instruction to take something, so I wonder, I would have to look it up. I don't think He mentions this. If it says that when Moshe does some of the miracles in Egypt, if it says, Vayikach lo es hamateh, I know in the case of the hitting of the rock, it says, Vayikach es hamateh, milifnei Hashem kasher tzivahu, it doesn't say Vayikach lo, but it would be curious to see in all kinds of situations if that works. But at least in this case, it answers the question of Vayikach lo. Okay, so hopefully between all the different things which we've seen, we have a few new interpretations, new ways to look at things, and that's the main point of learning a new commentary, is to find interpretations for things that we never considered before, and ways to see things that that are clear in the text if we only open our eyes to their possibility.